board.
All right. Some of you may not be familiar with our guest pastor this morning. So let me just give you a little bit of background. 25 years ago, I made my first trip to Haiti. And on the way back from that trip, we were praying that we could make a contact in Haiti where we could do ministry. And this man sat next to me on the plane, had just finished his education in the United States and had recently gone back to Haiti and was working with his father in this sort of remote place called Pignon. Well, that man is our guest pastor this morning, Pastor Jephthé Lucien. And the Lord gave not only at that time a wonderful, wonderful ministry that we have been blessed with for so many years, but also for me, not just a personal friend, but a mentor. Between Pastor Jephthé and his father, the Lord taught me how to be a pastor and what's important in the ministries that we are involved with. He is now the pastor of the Tabernacle de Louange in Cap Haitien. He is the rector of the Jerusalem Baptist University in Pignon. I got that wrong. We just call it UJEF by the acronym. He is still head of Jerusalem Baptist Missions in Haiti, with somewhere in the neighborhood of over 100 churches, many of which we have been to and helped to build and ministered there and shared the gospel. And I don't know if he's still the president of CLAY, but you were for you. He's still the president of CLAY, which is a organization of pastors in Haiti, which we have been blessed to have several seminars with. He ran for president not too long ago. And we are so blessed that he didn't get elected. He would be him. And the presidents of Haiti seem to be somewhat short-lived. So we are very blessed with that. I could stand up here for quite some time just talking about the man. But I would like to tell you that this is a man of God who loves the Lord, who has dedicated his life to the ministry of the Lord. And what more should I say than that, than just to introduce our dearly beloved Pastor Jephthé Lucien.
I suppose I could also say that his lovely wife actually works for us there in the church. As in the sense of
thank you, my boy. It is so good. It is so good to be in Fort Lauderdale at a church that I can call my own. Isn't that nice? Praise Jesus. Pastor Kirby is a little shorter than I am. Yeah. I was looking at the clock and I said, it is a dangerous thing to be standing at the pulpit where Pastor Kirby used to, so you're used to him, and then you let me preach without telling me when to end. I call it a Haitian Baptist preacher. You get it? And black! You get yourself in trouble. I like this pastor in Washington. I've told you before. He said, my brother, we love your accent. It's good to have you. The people love you. You can preach as long as you want, but the people of God will leave at noon. I know. God is so good. We're reading 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 13. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. I just love the fact that the rock was following the people of God. And so I call the sermon, at the end of the passage, it says that and God is faithful. And so I call the passage, the title, A Faithful Mobile Rock. This passage comes to us as an answer, part of an answer that the Apostle Paul was giving to the questions of the Corinthian. And I personally know that the questions have been different, but I'm here to answer your questions, some of your questions at least, about the situation in Haiti. And the questions that the people ask are various in their kind. Just as the questions that you've been asking about Haiti, there have been so many of them that I cannot even answer them. But I feel that the answer that the Apostle Paul gives to the Corinthian, that touch felt need for us, they can help to be the basis to answer the questions that I may have to answer this morning. It says that the people were blessed because they were being followed by rock. And it fits what I believe is what my dad always talked about, even in the mission when he first started it in 1977. That situation is so terrible in Haiti. We live under so many primitive circumstances that it is hard to figure out ourselves our way out, but all he knows that what it is what we found in Daniel 2:21. It is only God who can change times and circumstances. If I start telling you about what's going on in Haiti, yeah, man, it's sad. Even as I speak, even this past week, as you know in detail that the gangs have taken over 70% of Haiti. Prime ministers cannot go to their office, to his office. You have minister, they have to rent hotel rooms. They don't have a Congress, they don't have Senate, but where they used to meet, it's overtaken by gangs. I did purchase a piece of property near our church in Port-au-Prince so I could build a house. When I go to Port-au-Prince, I won't stay in a hotel. And I particularly chose this place because there were a lot of police officers who live in that area. And I know one day, even if there is problem in Haiti, but all those police officers, if you live nearby them, it would be, you know, safe. And there was one particular police officer who told me that he spent $300,000 to build his house, this pool and everything, wondering where he find the money. Because police officers don't get that much in Haiti, but this is part of the... But I was so pleased to buy a piece of property there. But the police officer brought me there. He paid $1,000 to a truck to get everything, his belonging, in his house. And he could not get there because the police officer who spent $300,000 to build his house right across the place where I bought my land. This is where the basis of the gangs are. So they take over, everybody fled, and the police officer brought me there. Right now he's living in Pino, left with everything. That's what's happening. When I say 70% of Port-au-Prince is not safe, that's the way it is. Everybody fled. People who left Pino to come to Port-au-Prince for school with their kids, they all go back. It's almost like the earthquake. And we have a lot of problem with the gas situation because the government cannot even provide gas for people to function. It's like sometimes you have gas and don't have money to buy the gas. But now you have money and can't buy the gas. One day I came here after I talked to my wife. I said, pick me up in Capation this because there was no gas. I only had half a 5 gallon of water to drink. And I took a shower with it. And after I talked to my wife at 11 p.m., and I look and I find a ticket for $85. And so I say, honey, tomorrow morning, come pick me up. Because I have a generator to bring the water up because it is by gravity. We bring the water up from the well, and then it goes through the house. But you need gas to put in the generator to start the pump to get the water. But there's no gas in the country. I remember at that time we bought a gallon of gas, of diesel, for like $40, and we needed 6. And even this morning we're buying a gallon of diesel to run church, 6 gallon, to put in the big generator. We're buying it at $25, and it's good. So now the government, they don't even have. They can't even provide to those needs, so people cannot have what they need to do. So we have problem with people paying too much money to come to church because they have to pay motorcycle and they can't afford. It affects the offering. It affects the number of people who come to church. But in the meantime, we have some people coming because they come from Port-au-Prince. They have no place to stay. And right now, what's happening, they're hunting people who come from Port-au-Prince because they don't know where they come from. And then a lot of gangs are trying to flee because right now, you need to pray for Haiti. Because one way people are trying to fight the gangs is like they have an operation, they call it Bois Calé operation. But if you see a gang, you just set him on fire. You just put tire in their neck. And the other day, they show on the internet how 14 in a bus trying to escape and the population run with the police and burn all of them. That's how they choose to solve the problem. So we need a lot of prayer. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the only hope is in the rock. The rock is faithful, is mobile, and one of the comfort we find is that he will never leave or forsake us. The walk, the faithful walk, the mobile walk, he will never leave nor forsake us. Yeah, first of all, I believe that he is faithful to protect us. He is faithful to protect us. The Bible talks about 5 things in this passage from the beginning that we are protected. He talks about, you know, the people of Israel, which is exactly the kind of blessing that the people in Corinth, they were benefiting from. And I believe that this is the same thing, the same way that the Lord has blessed us also. The mobile walk, the faithful mobile walk, will not leave nor forsake us. And he is faithful to protect us. He protects us from, in a way that he gives us direction. Direction. Yeah, those people, the Israelites were were freed from slavery through Egypt. And the Bible tells us that they were being followed by a cloud. He says they all were under the cloud. They experienced miracle, because as they were standing in Exodus 14 in front of the Red Sea, the enemy was behind them, and they had mountain and valley the right and to the left. And the Lord said, "Don't worry, I will fight your battle. Just keep your mouth shut. Be peaceful. Just wait to see how God is going to deliver you." And it's a way that as Christian, like the Corinthian, we have been protected, we have been given direction, and we are safe under the guidance of Christ, who is the rock, who is faithful, and is mobile. He says that they were all baptized in the cloud, in the sea, just like under Moses. They were identified as people being led by a man that God has chosen. And just as we, Christian, we are under the leadership of Christ, our rock, we are identified as Christian. He said that they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. The rock was following them, actually. When they were in front of the Red Sea, I believe that the rock was there. They experienced the miracle of God as they went through the Red Sea. And the enemy was behind them. And after they passed through, not only God delivered them, but the enemy perished. I mean, you can imagine that the rock was there for them when they were afraid at night. They were under the cloud. You can imagine when during the day they had the cloud. In the evening, there's a light. Like the Bible says in Luke 1:79, that the people who walked in darkness, they saw a great light. So he was walking with them in the desert on a journey to the promised land. He never left them. He never forsook them. It was just walking. They're walking with them. They were thirsty. They got water. They were hungry. They got food. They probably were sick and they were healed. They were protected. And as Christian, he was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our transgression was upon him, and we healed by stripe. He is always there. No matter what we go through, he is there. He is always there to protect us against the enemy, against situation, against darkness, against the sun that can burn them, against thirst, against hunger. He never leave us, nor forsake us. I sometimes I look at what this church means to me, and how I met Pastor Kirby on an airplane. That means we could not, I mean, we could have been around and never met each other. And all the blessings that you are to me, which you believe I am a blessing to you too, praise God. But this is unbelievable how this came about. I mean, you've got to understand that this is me studying in the States, choosing to go to Haiti, and sometimes I need prayer. Because when in 1996, I mean, a Haitian spending 10 years in the States, going back to Haiti, not being concerned about anything, but the preaching of the gospel, the mission that God has entrusted me. And I'm telling you, I got back because I knew that this is where the Lord wanted me to be. But I got back because I knew that there was going to be a change sometime. I didn't know that from 1996 to now, that we're still going to be struggling for water, electricity. Like when I live here, I go to Haiti, I stay in a house with no electricity. I have some batteries that are running out, and they run only when there is the sun, and I have to change them. You know, I have people from the church following me at my house so that they can charge their phone. I mean, you've got to understand that things got worse to the point that you wonder, I mean, have I made a mistake in 1996? I was a young man, hopeless. And the hope was in the United States. And I came here to the hope, and then I responded to the Lord's calling by leaving the hope behind and go and preach the gospel. I mean, I am human. I need prayer for that. Because I ask myself, have I made a mistake? The other day, we have a special service on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you go to my church, and this is the time we have more people. We have a fasting service where people start praying at 6 o'clock, and they finish at 1. And when I say at 1 o'clock, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, the people are still on the floor praying. This is the situation that I live. There is no seat. There is no benches. There is no roof over their head. And they're still there. You know, the people are still there and praying. And sometimes you wonder, where do those people find help? And if you are a pastor, you have a shepherd heart, and you pastor those people, sometimes 6,000, sometimes 7,000, 10,000, depending on what kind of event we have. And you ask yourself, I mean, are you going? They have all kind of needs. And the other day I asked, whoever is waiting for an email, there is a program that Haitian can come without going to the U.S. Embassy and then on parole. And then they can come, family can fill out paper. Anybody can fill out paper and bring people in. And I ask everybody who's waiting for an email of confirmation from the U.S. government so they can travel. And so I ask, come forward so I can pray for you. From 6,000 to 7,000 people, you know, maybe 1,000 is not waiting for an email. I say, oh my goodness. Who am I going to be in my church? Because the hope is here. And I don't blame anyone, because when I was a young man, I was living in Haiti. I saw no way around out. There's no way out. And I'm sure that every single American who knows his or her history, they know somehow you have parents or relatives who come from somewhere. And they all, when they came here, they tried to bring you in. They tried to bring their family in, because this is the place to be. And we know that part of what's going on in the world is because of, you know, it's about keeping us safe, keeping this area safe, trying to keep war away from us. And we need to understand that if we understand politics. And I'm saying that for all the problems that are happening in the world, all the wars that are happening in the world, all the situation that may be caused by, you know, all kind of groups that are gang together to keep the world safe. But it creates problem in governments because there is instability. Because there, I mean, we need to stay safe, but we can't let anybody come close to us, and we can't let people trying to bring other groups near us. I am sorry, I can't be 100% clear, but I do it on purpose. But I can tell you that as U.S. government try to keep us safe, they need to keep war away from us, and they can't keep order. Groups come close, and they have to keep things moving away. And so there are a lot of unrest caused by this kind of idea between, you know, capitalism, socialism, communism, that is dead, but still people are trying to dream about bringing it back. Because when people are hopeless, they try to find hope anywhere. But no matter how you feel, how it is, when I testify about Code Red going on at the school, when I talk about what's going on even in the States, that I ask my church to continue to pray. But people are trying to come here, and most people in Haiti, they're trying to get out. And they're trying to come here. And people are desperately, when they come to the prayer meeting, they bring their passports. And they're asking prayer that the Lord would bring their record, their file, to the point where it comes as quick as possible. So I'm saying that in the hope for people living outside the United States who are suffering like us in Haiti is to come to the U.S. No matter what picture I paint about the shooting here, about all the tragedies that are going on here. But this is the hope. But we know, and we're preaching, that the hope is not in government, not in the U.S., not in friends, not in family members. The hope is in the faithful mobile rock would never leave us nor forsake us, and it is Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And this is what we're preaching. He is faithful to protect us. He protected his people. Paul is reminding the Corinthians that he is faithful to protect them and us as a group of people. He is faithful to protect us too. And I can tell you, I give you a hint about how it works and instability in government, how it came about. And, you know, it comes from international community influence. Because if I want to control this church from outside, I want to touch the leadership and create instability. And no matter what the purpose in my mind is to keep my people safe. But it creates disorder in government. And you don't know who to believe, because the story that I'm telling you, someone else would give you the perspective that I'm giving you. Someone else might give you a perspective, and it creates confusion. But one reason why Haiti is being controlled by gangs is corruption, probably in election. Because people are trying to win election, and they're paying people to give pressure so they can fill the booth. When they count, they see a result that is different from what reality is. And so what happened? They started by pressuring people. Then they started by giving people firearm to pressure people so they can fill the boxes. Then when they get in power, they control the area. They want to keep this area to themselves. And next time there is an election, 4 or 5 years later, the same thing happened. They try to pay people, give firearms to people so they can pressure people. And so now they think that they can control every specific area by not making the government institution stronger, but to arm civilian so that civilian can do the job. And that's what happened with Duvalier. He make his own body. And it was illegal, but that's what government do. They don't do it the right way. They empower civilian so that civilian can be armed and do the job for them. So when they are in government, they get to the point where they don't have money to support them. So those guys use the same firearm to kidnap people to get money and to start taking over territory so they can hurt people. And they got to the point where they're merciless. They have no mercy. So they just making, and finally you can see that it's money. People trying to kidnap people, getting people, make people suffer so they can get money. And so progressively they tell you, yesterday I was listening to a police officer in Haiti who was saying that we can solve the problem, but the gangs group our own. And we have some gangs leader who tell us that I am where I am because of such and such president, because of such and such leader. And this is the reality of what is going on. But you can, I can tell you, I tell you all this to remind you that the way we met, the way the Lord brought this about, the kind of help that we get from you, you can see that this is the Lord working everything out for good, for those of us who love him. The blessing that I get from you all, the way that you continue, like Paul, I can say to the Philippians, like Paul said to the Philippians, I mean, no church basically help except one or two churches, because we got a lot of help from people when we have teams continue to come. But when teams don't go, the churches stay out of touch with what we are doing, even if you let them know, but they want the people to go. When the people go, that's when they are in touch and they continue to help the way that they're helping. And if I did not have a church like New Hope Community Church in Fort Lauderdale, I mean, I would have had a different story to tell people about how we are trying to survive. And God, in the midst of all this unrest, turmoil, disaster, he put us together for such a time like this so that you can be the kind of blessing for his glory. You are the sign of God's protection over me, over my family, over his people in Haiti. And this is how the walk, the faithful walk, continue to help, continue to function, continue to follow us. And my dad had an experience. He was traveling from St. Raphael to Pino after he got back from Cap Haitien. It's a 16-kilometer walk. He was bringing food to us. He was in a hurry to come on Sunday and do his church in the village. And as he was about in an intersection, as he was about to get to our house, and he heard a noise. That's his testimony. He heard a noise saying, clap! You know, he only heard the sound. And he found himself surrounded by fire. He was terrified. And any Haitian would understand that there are a lot of people who try to hurt people with superstitious power. And every Haitian would understand what I mean. Because even the Bible says that sometimes they come like dog. They bark like dog and they go around the city looking for someone to eat. But we believe that there are some people that are worshiping voodoo and Satan. They try to hurt people in the middle of the night. And my dad found himself surrounded by a group like this looking like a fire to hurt him. And he said, where does my help come from? And he said, my help comes from the Lord. My dad's testimony was that day, he just did not see them anymore. And the funny thing is that in Haiti, every Haitian who hears that would understand what I mean. He says, the next morning, someone came and said, why were you on the street so late? And when my dad speaks about this story, he always reminds us that if he didn't have Jesus as his walk, following him everywhere that he goes, he doesn't know where he would have been. Because there are people out there to hurt people. They may take other forms here, walking with their gun, cursing you. You know, the enemy may use all kind of tools to destroy people. What we know is that he comes to kill and to destroy. But Christ comes to give life. But if we don't have him as our only hope, we don't know where we would have been. The faithful mobile walk is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is faithful to protect us, just as he protected the people of Israel. I believe that he is faithful to prevent us from perishing. He is faithful to prevent us from perishing. What he talks about in verse 5 to 11 is some mistakes that I call deadly mistakes that the people of Israel made. And quite frankly, I see those mistakes that do not be idolater, do not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. He say, don't put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpent. And he talks about, don't grumble. Don't grumble, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. So this is what Paul tells you. But before he talks about those deadly mistakes that the people did, he says, these things took place in verse 6. These things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. And then in verse 11, he says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. You know, what he's saying is that, okay, in God's sovereignty, he allows some people to make some mistakes, but you, he said they perish, but you, he write those down, not as a student who goes to school and learning, taking a class on history. And then you're learning history, so as part of your requirement for graduation. No. This is a lesson for you to learn, so that you don't make the same mistakes that the people of Israel make. And so, he's trying to prevent you, in his faithfulness, from perishing like those people perish. They made the mistakes, and they paid for it. Don't make the same mistake so that you don't perish. He's telling you this so that we don't follow the example. Is preventing you from perishing like them. And this is a lesson for us when we look at what's happening in the world. I mean, I can tell you that sometimes God is punishing us for what we do wrong, and we don't even know what he's doing. Like I tell people in my church in the 80, and some of them don't agree. I mean, you have opportunity to choose leader. And the author says that a people who make the wrong choice, they're not victims, but they are the author of their wrong future and the suffering, their misery. Because we do that. The world is going to a point where, I mean, even in the Christian community, look at all the pastors who have the best, the most like under their picture. I mean, they do nothing about the Bible. The mega churches, they don't preach the Bible. And in Luke 5:39, the Bible says that people have, no one after tasting the old wine want the new, for they say the old is good. People's taste have changed. And sometimes I wonder, the young people, and I tell them to learn from parents' mistake, and I hope parents are honest with them. We need to pray. Because we can have a nice future like the people of Israel. We can be under all kind of blessings that the people of Israel. And we mess up. Because of the road that we follow. I mean, if you love churches where people are just chanting, dancing. I have a church like that. I have a lot of churches like that. This is the culture right now. And I tell people from my church, the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. He says that, I'm telling you, you know, you create a group for people to pray for. Because there is a tempting. There is a temptation at my church where, you know, you can end up started praying for sick people and they get healed. And you get elevated to a pedestal. I mean, it's, everybody say, oh, this is the guy. And this is what's going on. People want message of deliverance. But nothing about the Bible, nothing about sin, nothing about holiness, nothing about nothing. And then you got a taste, you attach to truth, what you call truth, that have no foundation. I have kids that grew up in my house, that got up, that eat no egg. They don't like salad. Nothing that's good for them. They just give them a piece of candy in the morning. They're good. Give them gum. They're fine. No wonder why you have a church like this. And there are some churches that have thousands and millions of people because the word of God is being preached here. And you have people right now, leaders, that they're attracted to them at the church and in politics. They're just people that have been doing. I mean, think about Haiti, who are the president, who are the pop singer. I mean, you can't get close to anybody who say that kind of. I mean, this guy put his pen down everywhere he goes, even after he become a president. I mean, the worst cursing word you can hear is from a guy, and he goes to an election with all kind of leader, and he became the president. So this is, I mean, when you have, right now, even Capation, I'm telling you, that is safe for you to go. You don't have to worry about anything if you go to Capation. I have some missionary who are doing teaching, that teaching all the time, and there are those people, they just go to Haiti, but it is dirty. No electricity, no water. People are fighting. Things become more expensive every day. And I can tell you that it is not fun. People are walking. I mean, the mayor cannot pick up the trash. And you're walking on, you know, trash that people make in their house. That's the way it is. And you wonder what happened. Because people don't have priority to help. People don't have priority to do their job. People don't have priority to have the life based on the Word of God, which is our foundation. They don't find hope in the faithful walk. And this is what happened. Part of what's going on is because we live in a country that don't believe in the Word of God. Even the United States. I ask my church to constantly pray for you. Because I know that your what you call a motto, that in God we trust. And if you dare say that anywhere, you get in trouble. Amen. We need to understand that we can be under the grace of God and still perish the way that it happened, not that you lose your salvation or anything. Just because what's going on is that you make deadly mistakes. You lose all kind of blessings, just like the people of Israel. Even Moses, he didn't make it to the promised land. He was still protected because the Bible says that after his death, in Jude, after his death, Satan came and tried to get his body, but God didn't give it to him. That's the kind of, faithfulness we're talking about. Even after death, the faithful, mobile rock will not depart from me. Isn't that beautiful? Even after death, you see that? Even after death, I don't know what he was going to do with his body. But the Bible says he didn't get it. And 1,000 years later, I love Jesus. Because thousands of years later, and you saw Moses, you think he didn't make it to the promised land, and you saw Moses walking with Jesus and Eli. Isn't that beautiful? In the mountain of transfiguration. Isn't Jesus faithful?
Amen.
Is he worth serving?
Amen. Yes.
Our hope is in him. And we're thankful that no matter what happened in this world, he is faithful to prevent us from perishing. And we need to understand that he got us some history, but we got it so we can learn from it. He is faithful, I tell you, he is faithful to protect us from peril. He is faithful to prevent us from perishing. And he is faithful to keep us from falling. Because when you hear word like this, you say, oh man, I'm in trouble. I'm a sinner. I was listening to even this morning, the pastor talking in Psalm 18 about David. You know David. David is talking about righteousness. David, you know David, King David, you know what it is. But this guy is saying he has clean hands. It's because of the grace of God, because he understands what he means to be a Christian. This is a free gospel. I can understand that someone would refuse that gospel that we preach, that Christ died for our sin, he was buried and resurrected. He is now in heaven offering salvation and forgiveness to every sinner who repents and believes. No matter how bad your sin was, you repent, you come to him, and he say that the sinner that plunge into it, you clean, no stain, you're good, you're righteous. Isn't that beautiful? This is the faithfulness of a walk that never leave and never forsake you. But not only that, he is faithful to keep you from falling, but he is faithful to keep you from perishing, but he's faithful to keep you from falling. That's what he says. That he say, no, in verse 13, he say, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But within the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The three major things that Jesus shows his faithfulness to us. He proves that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That he will allow only trials or temptation that are common to men. I mean, if you see you're going through something, if you're going through some temptation, I mean, this is something that someone else has gone through. I mean, you have death in your family, you just go in the world. I mean, three per people, go Google it. Three person die every second. Every second. If you're going through, you are going through some kind of things like that in your family, I mean, it's common to men. I mean, if you're going through some people who are sick, go to the hospital, you're not alone. If you're having some kind of pain, you're going through some sickness, you have some problem with your children, you're going to school, or you're struggling with some sin, no temptation has overcome you, which is not common to men. That's a promise. Now, don't worry. He is with you. Because some people think when you are going through trial is because Jesus is away from you. No, he is drawn near to those who have brokenhearted. In fact, his mission coming from heaven in Luke 14, that he came to heal those who are brokenhearted. This is his mission. I mean, the Holy Spirit is upon him. And God has sent Jesus to heal. Heal who? Those who are brokenhearted. I mean, no matter what you go through, I don't care if children are suffering, you are going through something. I mean, this is nothing uncommon to men. This is generic. I mean, the enemy is trying to tell you, why me, why me, why me? Not just you. A lot of people are going through this. And the second thing he promises is that he will allow you to carry only burden that you can bear. I have something happening this morning at my church. You know, I replaced a pastor, famous pastor, Pastor Ecclesiastes. 10,000 of people in his church. And this morning, there's the second pastor who's been there. I became the senior pastor, but there was an associate. He still remained the associate. And I became the pastor. And so this morning at 3 a.m., he fell sick. They took him to the hospital. Before he got to the hospital, he passed away. And I was trying, and the problem with that church is that the people think that the Lord has been doing so many miracles there. Even though the pastor passed away, they were looking for me. Some of them did not know that I came because I was there. I came here on Thursday. They brought the dead pastor in the church, and they're looking for us to pray over them, thinking that something can still happen. I mean, he died around 6-7 o'clock. Because they think if he walks into the church, God can still do something and the people still can pray over him. This is great faith. This is a church of faith. But someone was telling me, Pastor, why you have to go through this death? You have to, you know, bury Pastor Ecclesiastes, but right now the second pastor is dead again. I tell them, this is what I'm going to preach this morning. If God gives you a burden, he will give you the strength to carry it. Sometimes you see some skinny people, smaller people carrying some heavy load. I wonder how they do because I can't. I break my back a long time ago. But, you know, because, I mean, they can because the burden that they're carrying, the Lord knows that they can carry it. I don't care what you're going through. In fact, I care, but I don't know what you're going through. But whatever you're going through, I know that the Lord will give you the strength to carry it. And he said, he will always provide a way out. I don't know. All the doors may be closed. All the windows may be closed. There should be a little hole through which you can go. Because this is the kind of faithful mobile rock that we put our hope on. And so he said, for no temptation, no trial regarding, you know, sin, no matter how it comes, no matter where it leads, nothing can overtake you and lay hold on you that is not common to man. And everything that you go through is not beyond human resistance. But he will provide a way out. Just a reminder, a faithful mobile rock, he will never leave us, nor forsake us. Husband leave, wife leaves husband. I mean, children leave parents, parents leave children. People, you know, leave you voluntarily or, you know, you know, involuntary. You know, they live whether they want or whether they don't want to. You know, this is life. But Jesus, the mobile walk, will not leave you, okay, nor forsake you. He is faithful to protect you from all peril, from all danger. He is faithful to prevent us from perishing. He is faithful to keep us from falling. Let me just leave you with these verses, because it says in Matthew 24 that there are some things that are impossible. Matthew 24:24 says, you know, there is something that is impossible. Keep that in your mind. Matthew 24:24, you know, it is impossible for Christian to be deceived no matter what's going on. Because it says, you know, for false Christ and false prophet will arise and perform great signs and wonder so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So he's saying that it's not possible, if you're an elect, for the enemy to deceive you. I believe that. No matter what's going on in the world, in the name of Jesus, you can't be deceived. It is impossible. Matthew 26:39. It is impossible, no matter what's going on, to remove the cross from the story, from the Christian story. You understand what I mean? It says in Matthew 26:39, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus, he wanted the cross to be removed. He thought for one moment that it could have been good for the cross to be removed. Sometimes I think for a moment that I should not suffer. I should not go through this. I should not go through that. I should not have this person being sick. I should not have this person dying in my family. I tell you, I don't know what you're going through, but according to the Bible, even for Jesus, it was impossible to remove the cross from the picture. Think about it. Impossible. Well, one thing that's impossible in Acts 2:20-24, it was impossible. It was for Jesus not to be resurrected. You say, God raise him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The resurrection of Jesus is the hope of the gospel. It was impossible for him not to be resurrected. One thing I know is possible is what Jesus says, you know, for God. It's like in Matthew 19:26, that all things are possible, God. No matter what's going on in the world, God can stop it. Because nothing is impossible. No matter what you're going through, God can do it. Because all things are possible with God. And you know, one of the things that encourages me is what the Bible says in Mark 9:23. All things are possible for the one who believes. Do you believe? I'm encouraging you this morning to believe in Jesus. He is the faithful mobile walk. If you believe in him, you've got to believe also that nothing is impossible. My brother, adoptive brother, Jason, is the pastor of the church in New Jerusalem. He grew up in the house with us since the age of 5. My dad says, if you are in his house, we don't talk about orphan. This is his child. This is his son. This is his daughter. There is no orphanage. He just has a home where he has children. Once you get in his house, he is your dad. And my brother was the pastor of a church in New Jerusalem where the gang have taken over. Jason says that he will not go. He will not leave the place. Right now, those of you who've been to Sister Ellie, the gangs have taken over. We have to move the kids from this area. But Pastor Jason, 3/4 of the church have gone, but Jason says he's going to stay there. He brought his wife. His wife is staying with his kids, are staying in my house in Pinon right now, but he says he has to stay there. And so he said he has to, until the last person from his church go, he's a shepherd, he's going to stay there and take care of it. I said, they're going to kidnap you. They're going to take you. They're going to break some houses around him. He said, no, the Lord will do something. And I know that I will to finish the work that the Lord has given me to finish. And so what happened to Jason is that he said, the Lord will do something. What happened? He went out. He said he needs to preach the gospel. He needs to evangelize. And when he go out, he just saw a telephone on the floor. He took the telephone, and when he took the telephone, he took it, he's waiting for its owner to call, and so he can give it to him. And guess who called? The phone ring, and who is there? I said, I am Pastor Jason. And who are you? I said, this is a phone that I found on the floor, and I'm waiting for someone to come and ask for it, and I give it. He said, well, you know who I am? This is the chief of all the gangs in his area. He said, bring me the phone. I will take it, and nobody can touch you in this area. That's why Pastor Jason is still there, because he believed that God gave him a mission, and he's going to continue until the end. And that's why the church in New Jerusalem is still functioning. So pray that we will continue to have faith in God, because the Bible says everything is possible with God, and everything is possible to everyone who believes. Believe in Jesus, the solid mobile walk. May God bless you. Fun.